we're less than 44 in the book of Daniel, and we're down to verse 25 in the, chapter 7, verse 25. We're probably going to end this chapter today, and there's so there's a test at the end of this chapter that everything you've learned for the last five, six chapters of Daniel, we may get over some of those questions to see just how well you took your notes and see how well your memory is maybe for some of us. Some of you look like you're bright and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, is where we left off. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand, unto a time and times and dividing of times, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the ends. Now, we know who he's talking about. Daniel's talking about who?
The Antichrist.
And we also know that Satan, hold your finger there and go to Isaiah chapter 14 for a second. We kind of left off this. Go back a couple books to your left there. Isaiah 14. And one thing you got to remember that when God created Genesis 1:1, if you have a right Bible, it says God created the heaven and what?
Earth.
Not the heavens. And there's a reason for that. God created the heaven and earth. He don't create the heavens to chapter 2 and on down in there. But he created the heaven and earth. To me, it was perfect. Okay, and then the verse 2 says it without form and void. So something happened. So Satan's name before he had fallen was named who?
Lucifer.
And Lucifer means, you know what it means?
Light bearer.
Light bearer. So Lucifer was a light bearer for God Almighty. He's also known as a cherubim, right?
Yes.
Okay, and there's certain people in the Bible, certain cherubims, archangels and stuff are named, and he's one of them. You know the other two. What other angels are named in the Bible?
Michael and Gabriel.
Okay, these are really names that God used, and they got positions of rank and authority. So Lucifer was the light bearer that was over the throne room of God. Okay, and he directed worship service, as we know. So he looks down and sees the sea of glass, if you will, and sees the beauty. And it pride lifted up. Now, many of you look in the mirror today and see the beauty, and you don't get lifted up with pride. You're like, that's how I am. I'm getting older, so that's, you know, you got to love me for who I am, Jerry. But anyway, to make a long story short, you can get lifted up with pride. I've watched mirrors and gyms. You know, some gymnasiums has mirrors. You know what that does? Yeah, vain. Look at me, pride. You know, the gym that I go to don't have mirrors. It's because you don't need mirrors to look at. You're working for yourself. But anyway, Isaiah 14 describes what happened to Lucifer. And if you will, go to Isaiah 14, verse 12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now, some Bible versions will leave out Lucifer. And they call son of the morning. You know who also is known as son of the morning star?
Jesus Christ.
See, and he shows up where? In Revelations. So if you don't have the right Bible and understand that, you'll think the son of the morning star was back over here. That fallen. You with me? So look, it says, for thou hast said in thy
heart.
No matter what the issue is, it's always a heart issue. If you let your heart get hardened, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad.
Pharaoh, what happened to his heart?
And
we talked about that in the ambassador class when we had it before, that your heart can get hardened and it can have a callus over top of it, and it won't get penetrated with the word of God. You know that? Your heart can harden against God, the Creator, or Lord Jesus Christ, or even a person so bad that no matter what they say or what they do, it will not matter to that heart. Now, you can look in your mind and say, yeah, okay, I forgive you. But it's always a heart issue with Israel and with us today in the body of Christ. To believe with your what? Heart. The words of God's in your what? Heart. So, you may not have a Bible in your hand, but where's the word of God supposed to be? There you go, in your heart. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Big G, little G. Now, who's that talking about?
The Creator.
The Creator, God the Father. I will sit also upon the Mount of Configuration in the sides of the north. I will descend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like what? The Most High. And we know what that means. The Most High means what?
God. Possessor.
God, not, what was that?
Possessor.
Possessor of what?
Heaven
and earth. So here's Satan, Lucifer, is said that, and he's ascending himself. And you know, do you think that ever is going to happen?
No.
We're going to try.
No, wait a minute now. Y'all saying no, awful quick. Jim just pointed. It does happen.
Ages to come.
Right here in ages to come, he's sitting on the throne as God. We saw that in Thessalonians last week. Okay, maybe.
He's not above the stars.
Hang on a minute.
All of that is not going to come to fruition.
Hang on a minute. He is above the stars of heaven right now. Satan is. Lucifer. He's a god. He's a prince of power of the air. He controls the first and second heaven. He wants to be like. Now, he's not, grant you, he's not going to sit above the throne of God. Right? We know that's not to be true. But what about the heavens? The stars of heaven? Is he not sitting above that right now?
No. He's there.
Yes.
Yeah. His minions.
Yes, he is. Hey,
Satan is?
Yes, sir. He's the prince of the power of the air. There's three heavens.
Yeah.
The blue skies is one. Who controls that?
Satan.
And then you got to where the stars are at. Who controls that right now?
Satan.
And then you got the third heaven. Who's
God.
In there?
God.
God. And there's a sea of glass there. That's why if that sea of glass wasn't there, you could see the throne of God right now. You could see God Almighty. And it's Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. That's what happens, and we'll get to that in a little bit, in the midweek. All them stars are rolled up and cast away, and they see God Almighty up there. Satan does. And they say, here's the devil, because I'm God. Listen, if you don't think you can be convinced that, you're fooling yourself. We know in our heart what the outcome's going to be, because why? We have the Word of God. Hold your finger there. You see the five I wills. Five means death in the Bible, guys. Five means division. And that's what Satan's doing, is causing division. Do you remember in Matthew where he takes the Lord Jesus Christ up on the pinnacle? Mm-hmm. He said, if you worship me and bow down, I will give you what? Okay. The kingdoms of the what?
Earth.
The world. Okay. And he showed him the kingdoms of the world. Now, I know if is a big question or a word. If is like a hinge on the door. If you do this, but if you don't, you with me? If Lord Jesus Christ said, "Okay, Satan, I'm with you. Give me the kingdoms," would not he still be above the God of this world? Why? How? Because where's he sitting? Where's he at? So he's above that. He would still be above what's on this earth. And that's how he is right now. But God's up there. God's patient and merciful. Every one of Paul's epistles, he starts out with what? Grace and peace. That's totally different between war and judgment. And that's what happens after we're taken out of here. With me? So right now, God is in this world reconciling everybody. We have a message of reconciliation. That's a different thing. But think about this for a minute. I told you to go to 2 Thessalonians. Or did I? Okay, go back. Hold your finger in Daniel. 2 Thessalonians. What do you know about the book of Romans, right quick? It's a book of... The Bible says all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into what? All good works. So Romans is a book of doctrine. First book of body of Christ. You people, if you bring people to the understanding that Jesus Christ died for them, was buried, and rose again, you don't tell them to read the book of John. Like 99% of people do, right? Give them the book of Romans. That's where they're going to find some good doctrinal issues that once the first five chapters, they're justified. And if you ever notice Paul's writing, after you're justified in the first five chapters, he moves on to sanctification in chapter 6, 7, and 8. He never brings back up justification again. I don't know if you realize that. That's why people say, well, I just don't feel saved. That type of thing. I don't feel justified. It's settled forever. And Romans 6, 7, and 8 deals with sanctification. You're dead to the law. You're dead to sin. You're dead to flesh. Okay? We're dead to it, but it's still there. See? Then you got Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. It deals with dispensation. He takes the believing Jew that believed in that kingdom program, and he explains to them what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. I haven't forgot about you. See? And then Romans chapter 12 through 16 is application. Everything that you learned through those 16 chapters, you can start applying to what you need to apply to. Then you got Corinthians, the book of reproof. And you're reproofing their behavior. We have some bad people out there. We have some bad children, right? No. We have some behavior issues, don't we? And we got to what? Reproof them. And sometimes you have to spank them, put them in a corner. They'll love you. They might not think that, but then you got Galatians, a book of what? Correction. It's correcting the behavior. Hey, Paul established the Galatian church saved by grace through faith plus what?
Nothing.
But these Galatian people are like, oh, you know, maybe we need to be circumcised. Maybe we need to be baptized. Maybe we... Paul says, no. I marvel how soon are you removed from the one who brought you into this gospel, which is not another gospel. So he's correcting their behavior. Then after that, you got the book of what?
Ephesians.
Listen, this right here, what I'm sharing with you, has helped me understand Paul's epistles, and it's forever settled in my mind how I dealt with things. The book of Ephesians is a second book of what?
Doctrine.
And what's the doctrine of that?
Mystery.
Not only mystery. You ever notice Paul never brings up justification in that? He's talking about you're seated in heavenly places. And we'll look at this in a little bit towards the end of the chapter. You're already made to sit. You're in heavenly places. You preserve. Everything's up there. You're going to have dominion, principalities and powers. There's governments up there, guys, that God is going to take the body of Christ to replace the fallen angels that followed Satan. We're going to get that slowly but surely. Sometimes we have to just remind ourselves of some things. Paul assumed that the Ephesians already knew what the Romans was all about. You with me? So he don't go back and rehash these things. So I'm justified, that settled it. I'm over here. I'm sanctified, that's set. I'm set apart. I'm over here. I'm glorified in the spirit, soon to be in body. I'm over here. After Ephesians is what?
Philippians.
A book of
reproof.
He's reproofing their thinking. Hey, they was behavior was second to none. But their thinking was off a little bit. Their mindset. He's telling them about the mind of Christ and all that. So, and then after that is Colossians, and that's a book of
correction.
He's doing the same, correcting their thinking. Man, these guys are had it going on. And if you notice, they're correcting their thinking is totally different than correcting their behavior and reproofing their behavior and You with me? He don't come down too hard on them. He's like, hey, you know, you guys know this stuff. Then what's after Colossians?
Thessalonians.
You have doctrine. You have reproof. You have corrections. You have instructions in that book right there. And guess what the Thessalonian letters are about? The what? There you go. You're called out of here. See, you don't, all that stuff involved over there, you're already fulfilled with it. So, and then you have Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, their book of instructions to the church. How to church, local church govern himself. How do we treat each other here? How do you treat another brother? That type of thing. So I told you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul has written, and this is, you know, some say this is one of the first book Paul wrote, or they say Galatians. It don't matter to me. Either one of them are great books. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." You know what that is? The day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 4. Taken away. This is holding back the 70th week of Daniel, by the way. You with me? Mm-hmm. Until the body of Christ is taken over here, this can't take place. So that's why I said last lesson, until those 10 kings show up and that little one comes out of there, the Antichrist can't happen tomorrow, guys. Now the catching away can. Then he says, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that of the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed in the son of perdition, who oppose and exalt himself above all that is called what?" What did you read over in Isaiah chapter? What did you read over in Isaiah chapter 14?
I will.
Who is he talking about there? Now, who's the son of perdition and the son, man of sin? Has that happened yet? That's why Paul is writing to Thessalonians. Why are you so soon removed from this? Then he says, "Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you of these things." So, getting back to that, who is he talking about there? The Antichrist, Satan, and all that good stuff, right? So, go back to Daniel chapter 7. Well, let's verse 6. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth what?"
Already.
You think it's working today? What's the mystery of iniquity? What's iniquity?
Sin.
Sin. It's working out there. The mystery of iniquity. He's telling lies. And he's doing this. And he says, "Doth already work, only he who now letteth will let and until he be taken away." That Antichrist is going to be sitting on that throne. He's going to let and be let. Because he's acting as who? God. And people's going to buy into that just the same as they buy into anything else.
You say he's going to be let.
Let.
Or let. Oh,
let.
Yeah.
He's going to let. You ever play tennis?
Yeah.
And you hit the net, it says what? Let. Stop. He's good. That type of thing. It's very, very good. And he says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and soon destroy with the brightness of his coming." That's coming over here. So Paul was telling the Thessalonians, hey, why are you worrying about this? Why are you soon shaken? I told you these things. And Paul is referring to that Antichrist, okay, and Daniel. We'll go back to Daniel. Somebody's came to them and said, hey, rapture already happened. you're still here. And they're like, whoa, wait, no. Paul. Paul does never give you a date when the catching away is going to happen. So there's people out there prophesizing and all that stuff that things like that will happen. Don't buy into that. If I know some of you, you probably got books about that already on your bookshelf. Because you like the writer or you like this type of thing. But look, it's okay to look at it, but you can see a lot of error in that, can't you? A lot of error in that. Our view is there is going to be a catching away. And that's called a pre-trib. There's a pre-trib catching away. There's a mid-trib catching away. There's a post-trib catching away. But ours is pre-trib because God never tells you through Paul that you have a day of wrath to come. So that's good news, guys. I don't know about you, but that's great news. Look, go back to Daniel chapter 7 and get Revelation chapter 12, too. We'll go get Revelation. We read about until the end. He is going. Here's what the Antichrist is going to do in Daniel chapter 7 we read. He is going to wear out what? Who? The saints of who?
Most High.
And that is a tactical of the tactic to the Antichrist then, but it is true of the devil in every age. Listen, he's wearing people down for Adam. He's wearing people down to us today, that people that would stand for this truth, okay? They'll stand for anything. They'll stand for the Cleveland Browns till the day they die. They'll stand in the military. You know, I'll defend this Constitution. I'll defend the rights of this. But when it comes to, you think Satan minds that at all? That you stand for the Cleveland Browns? No, or Constitution. You think he cares about that? You think he cares about standing for the right, dividing the word of truth and the dispensation of grace of God? And stand by a right Bible version? You think he minds that? You better believe he does. He don't mind if you wallow in the mire over there. He's going to wear it down. And he can wear you out, wear you down, make you tired, and guess what? Get you to what? Quit. I look at some of you who have been here for years. Some of you just started. And you have to test that and wear you down on it. Standing for this truth. You got loved ones that don't want to hear it no more. You got people that's out there that's just was your friend. Until you started talking about rightly dividing the word of truth, and guess what? They're not your friend no more, are they? It's sad. Not a true friend. Hey, I'll take any of you guys to stand in a ditch with in a battlefield. You know what a battle buddy is. We need battle buddies. But I don't look out there and see how many's out here to come to church. I keep my focus on what God is doing through His word right here. And when I look around, guess who's behind me? That you guys are. Okay? You guys are. Look. He is going to think to change times and laws. This Antichrist is going to change times and laws. What laws would that be for the Israelites? They had the Mosaic laws, right? And then they're going to have the Messianic laws. It's different than the Mosaic laws. So if you can change times and laws, you don't see that happen today, do you? In governments. Yeah, you do. See? And that's why you're looking at this. Wait a minute. They can't do that. And they're doing it. If they can change times and laws against you, you're in trouble. And that's what the Antichrist does over here. He is the situation that... All truth is related. No laws that can, that kind of things. I'm changing laws. I'm God. I'm going to change the laws. Isn't it comfort to know that the word of God don't change? Now, you can have different versions. Man's changing that. But if you got the word of God, it's infallible. You got something. And that's where my focus is. When I told you about the guy I was with, I kept using the word. Kept using the word. Not my opinion. Not what we think. The word. Jesus Christ used what? Words. It is written. It is said. To me, that helps me. It may not help you, but it helps me. Then they shall be given into the hands until the times and times and dividing of times. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. I got to step up a little bit. And the woman, and to the woman, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she nursed for a time and times and a half time from the face of the what?
Serpent.
So the woman, a lot of people teach that to be who?
Israel.
Okay? And in verse 13, which brought forth a man child. Okay, and a lot of people says it's 144,000. You probably heard that. but there's only one man child.
It changes.
Okay? But I don't know if you ever heard it being 144,000, but they do. And a time is how many?
1 year.
Times is what?
2 years.
2 years. And one and two is what?
Three.
And the times and a half time is what?
Three and a half.
And that is 3.5 years. It take me a while to siphon that. Like times. Look back at Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 what? Days. That's 1,260 days. 1,260 days is 42 months of 30 days each, which is a prophetic month, which equals 3.5 years. Okay? Are you adding that up, young lady? But look, she went, so when you read the expressions of the Bible, times and a half times, you're looking about 3.5 years time period. And 3.5 time period is what's spoken in Daniel chapter 7 right there. And it's the last half of the tribulation that you're in Revelation chapter 12. How many years is this tribulation period? How many? Seven, right? What's half of seven? Okay, so you have 3.5 on this side, you have 3.5 on that side. And where's the woman at, by the way?
In the second
wilderness.
Yeah. What did she do?
Runs.
Why?
Through the Antichrist.
The Antichrist is cranking down. When he sits up on that throne, destroys the worship service, he tightens down on the Israelites, the Jews, to destroy every one of them. Where do they go?
To
the wilderness and do what?
Hide in the box.
Okay, but who feeds them?
God.
You ever notice about Moses in the wilderness? Who fed him?
God.
Angel food cake, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, whatever you want. That type of thing.
Quail.
They wouldn't satisfy with bread, was it? They want meat, and quail show up. And they wouldn't satisfy about that. All that stuff. You know how man is? You know when you realize that, and you look at your own self, and you're like, I know why I am the way I am. You know? Yeah. Verse 7. Now look what happens in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought it and his angels. There's war where?
In heaven.
Okay. Are there war going on right now in heaven?
No.
There ain't no war like this in heaven. No. You know Job talks about the heavens as unclean? You ever notice that? He talks about the heavens are unclean right now.
Yeah.
Not where God's at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go. The heavens. And who controls that?
Satan.
That's what we're talking about. The prince of power. The Bible in Ephesians talks about the prince of power of the air. That's Satan. He controls. You know, a lot of people say, think he, you know, control electricity. And sometimes my phone ain't worth a dime out there. You can't get nothing. What's going on? Prince of power of the air. You know, I can blame it on him. But look, there's a war in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is up there. And where's he at right now? Third heaven. Okay? And in the middle of the week, he comes back down into the heavenly places in the universe. And where we are at with him is outside the universe, the body of Christ. So when this takes place in Romans chapter 12 and in Daniel chapter 7 that we're at, you're not here. You're outside the universe with Lord Jesus Christ. He's done judged you. He's done presented you with God the Father to be placed in positions of rank and authority. But he can't do that until when? You can't do it until the office is vacant. Right? And look, in the third heaven, until that point, that's where we're at. At that time, he comes back down into the universe and there's war in heaven. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither were there a place found in more, any more in where?
Heaven.
Who's losing their place?
Satan.
And they lose their place in heaven, and they're cast down to where?
Earth.
That's verse 9. At that time, when they lose their place in heaven, what happens to that place? If Satan and his angels are up there conducting government authority, and they get and war comes down and they get cast out and they battle up there and they fall, they're down to the earth, what happens to their place?
Well, they're empty. The body of Christ fulfills its place.
Someone has to fill that spot.
Somebody has to fill that place. Who is that? The nation Israel?
Body of Christ.
Us.
The kingdom saints?
No.
The body of Christ. That's why it's a mystery. That's why it wasn't revealed to Paul. That's why if the God of this world had, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Prince of Glory. Satan don't mind you believing in Jesus Christ. As if he was a prophet. Yeah? He don't mind that. He don't mind is what this mystery, but the effect of the cross did through Paul. The mystery that was hid was kept secret in the world began, and Tom said he shared this message with a couple verses to people. Acts chapter 3, verses 21, compared with Romans chapter 16, verse 25, those two things are not the same. Something that's spoken since the world began and something kept secret since the world began are not the same thing. And what was kept secret since the world began was this mystery program, how God was going to take back the heavens through the body of Christ. You with me? That's what Satan don't like today. And you know what? 90% of the churches out there don't like that either. They don't teach you that. You've been in, how many's been in a denomination church probably three quarters of their life? Did they ever teach you that? You know, and you also said, why? The guy said, why ain't I never saw that?
Why didn't somebody show me that? Yeah, yeah. I just did.
Yeah. And you're like, nah, you're tricking me. And they run to the preacher and they said, hey, what about you better stay away from that guy. You better stay away from that guy. That's what's sad. That's what's sad. Listen, I've been there and done that. Okay?
Got a t-shirt.
Got hats, books. That's never deterred me because you know what? It's right. It's the truth. You want to be right for God? I want to be right for God. Look, those places are vacant. And at that time, when they lose their place in heaven, it is filled up by members of the body of Christ. And that's going to take some time. You know? Listen, there's animals up there. Some of us might be shoveling manure. I don't know. But guess what? You're going to do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
You know? There's mayor positions. There's powers and principalities. That's government structures up there. And there's a government. Listen, have you ever noticed the tabernacle was a mirror of what?
Heaven.
And there's governments up there. There's governments down here. And all the governments were set up by God Almighty as a mirror of what's in heaven. So I look at a triangle, right? And you look at a triangle upside down. But who is the center of that? Who's on top of everything?
Jesus Christ.
And he's going to govern the heaven and earth. Okay? He's going to govern it. And it's going to be a wonderful time. A lot better than what you think this world is today. And I think we're living in the greatest ages since sliced bread. I know a lot of people don't like this type of world. But look, you got the greatest technology at your fingertips. Greatest automobiles. You know, anything you want, you got in your hand. Sit there and order dog food because I couldn't get to the dog food guy. They didn't have my dog food that we needed for things. He won't have it till next Saturday. Guess what it did? Click. It'll be here in 2 days. You know, like, wow. You know what I mean? We live in the great age. Look, when they are cast out of those positions of rank authority in the heavenly places, the body of Christ takes that place. That's what God is doing today. He's forming a body, isn't he? He's not forming a nation. Nations are on this earth. He takes the nation Israel, and they're going to be on this earth. He takes the body of Christ, going to be in the heavenly. He says, don't you know you're going to judge angels? But look, the body of Christ, spheres operation in ages to come, is in the heavenly places. It's not on this earth. And I know many of us have been taught we're coming back with Abraham on a white horse and do fighting down here in Armageddon. How many's heard that? Yeah?
Yeah.
He don't need you. Right. You're going to be in the heavenly places. I showed you in the Bible, Ezekiel, there's a song, them bones, them bones. Foot bones hooked to the ankle bone and the ankle bones hooked to the... You ever heard that song? You go look it up. They get it right out of Ezekiel, and there's a valley of dry bones, Israel, and God puts flesh back on that nation that died over there, comes up over here. He puts flesh on that nation. He puts a soul in that nation. He breathes on that nation. They come out, and the Bible says they're a whole army of who?
They're born again.
Israel. He don't need us to come back. He's got an army already here. And if you ever watched Lord of the Rings... I love that. I love those trivia. Lord of the Rings. It's a lot of topology of the Bible in there, and it's really really good. Is when he comes out, and these bones comes out of that sea, and they come on that land and get flesh and they start fighting. You know what I mean? You should see that. I mean, it's really scary of the. The ugliness of Satan and what's following him. But anyway, I need to go on. Look, the dragon is cast out and cast down to earth in verse 9. And verse 12, Revelation says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. He is no longer in the heavens, and he lost that position. He's no longer the prince of power of the air. And he's down here on earth, and he works with the Antichrist to reestablish his foothold to carry on. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, what? You had an accuser up there, and they had an accuser up there day and night accusing you in front of who? God. Remember Job? Hey, Satan, where have you been? I've been walking to and fro. Remember Jacob's ladder? Which way was the angels going, by the way? Jacob's on earth.
They were going up.
Ascending.
Does that ever, you ever wonder why that? You ever wonder about that rock that Jacob had his head on? Bethel. Bethel was a seat of God. And that showed you the authority of those angels. Where are they going to be going? Not down. Not the opposite. You would think the angels coming down. That's showing him a dream that's coming to pass, coming up over here, that the authority of God on earth is going to be the Jerusalem area. Look, beginning right there, Lord Jesus Christ begins to reign. He reigns in the heavenlies. Then 3.5 years later, he comes to the earth, takes it over right here. Over here. The saints of the Most High God then possess the earth. They go out and possess that earth in his name. And through the kingdom vested in the nation Israel, just like the possessors of the heavenly places up there, through the members of the body of Christ. And that's going to be an awesome day. You know that? Go back to Daniel chapter 7. Give me a few more minutes. Daniel chapter 7. Watch how Daniel winds this up. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. You notice he don't say what?
Heavens.
So guess what's going to happen? The kingdom of the under the whole heaven.
Right. Everything.
Shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and dominion shall serve him and what?
Obey
him. It is a, if I can say this word, and it's not in your Bible, it is a universal kingdom. Worldwide. And there's not one dominion obeying him yet, are they? Listen, guys, think about all nations in the world today. Are they serving and obeying God the Creator, possessor of the heaven and earth?
No.
I'd be willing to say there's only one that ever did. Only one nation since the nations was divided in Genesis chapter 11, all them nations, there've only been one nation in this world that ever obeyed God.
Israel.
And Israel.
If it keeps coming and going.
And while they became a nation that the other nations would never reckon with. And they was known throughout the whole world. Even we already looked at Nebuchadnezzar, knew about them. Nebuchadnezzar's wife knew about them. Knew about Daniel and his creator, God. There's not a nation's day. And don't, you can say it won't to. I'm going to say don't say it. That we call the United States a nation under God. You know, they never was a nation under God. There's so many religions that became a nation. We're a nation that was under God that served the God that you want to serve. But we never served God the Creator and Lord Jesus Christ as a whole.
Yeah.
You do know that. You individual has. And that's what helped us stay the way we are, of course. And I would encourage you, don't give up that ship. You have to continue. You know, whether you think it's going in the right direction or wrong direction, you have to stand by God the Creator. Because he's got the answer.
Amen.
Look, and he says, and they will serve him and obey him when it's all said and done. Verse 29, verse 28. Hereunto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, what was that word? Cognations? Much trouble me. And my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. All that stuff changed him. But what did he keep in his heart?
The matter. Those visions.
And the vision, matter. The matter, the word. He kept right. You need to keep the word of God right in your heart. You know, many of us might have all these years. I'm a firm believer of faith coming from hearing and hearing the word of God. Once you get saved, you can understand God. And you got this Holy Spirit inside of you today. The same Holy Spirit raised Lord Jesus Christ up. He lives in a temple not made with hands, but in the hearts of believers. And how you feed him, that Holy Spirit, is determined how you act. Okay? If I'm feeding it bad doctrine, if I'm feeding it kingdom doctrine, I believe your spirit's just sitting there. But you and your soul, you and your spirit thinks you're doing the right thing, and you're making yourself move it. And you get tired and beat down. I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to. But if you get the right doctrine inside of you, the Word of God rightly divided, get Pauline dispensational mid-acts truth inside of you, and that spirit starts getting energized, you get a little bit more like, yeah, and that knowledge starts falling into pieces, you know, that big puzzle pieces, and you're like, whoa, this is right. It makes a difference in your life. It keeps you going when the going gets tough. Not the energized bunny that you have to, you know, that type of thing, but you got a battery pack. And you got the Spirit of God inside of you, and how you feed it is the Word of God rightly divided. It makes a difference in your life that you're able to make discern from this truth and from error. Well, that's all I got today. I've got a few questions if y'all want to see if you know the answers right quick. We've got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Let me pray right quick. And then Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.